55, Psalms 55, and then 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read one verse out of each of these chapters, and then hold your place especially in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at that portion of Scripture. But Psalms 55, and then 1 Peter chapter number 5. Psalms 55, and then 1 Peter chapter number 5. All right, very good. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 55, I want to draw your attention to verse number 22, one verse in this psalm, Psalms 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Boy, I like that verse. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Now go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you will, look down at verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, I want to hear you read that together too. Let's do it. Ready? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us, dear God, not only the importance of casting, but exactly how to do that this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I think this is going to turn into a series. I've just kind of gotten captivated by this idea of casting, and I began to do a word study on it, and I think I've got about 6 or 7 sermons in the incubator, all right? And we're going to see how they go and where they develop. But I got to thinking about this idea of casting and what the Bible talks about, the different areas of casting. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalms 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord. And I begin to think of the idea of the art of casting, the art of casting. You say, casting is an art? Well, just talk to any fisherman. Casting is an art. I was talking to somebody that had never fished but was an avid golfer. And I was having a conversation with him this week. And I said, have you ever gone fishing? Do you fish? He said, I've never been in my life. He just kind of laughed and said, I just never saw the point of it. I mean, what's the big challenge in going out and catching a fish? And I said, that would be like a fisherman looking at a golfer and say, I've just never seen the big challenge in it. You just grab a club and hit a ball. And he just kind of looked and said, well, there's more to it than that. And I said, there's a little more to fishing than that, too. And so, you know, the fisher part of me was arguing with the golfing guy. And I remember when I was a young boy and I got involved and really got into fishing. And we grew up around the creek. I mean, we lived up on the top of a hill in Brazil, and we went down the hill. Our property butted up against a creek down below, and we just grew up running up and down in that creek. And Dad, he'd buy us some fishing line, and he'd buy us some hooks, and that was it. That was the extent of his financial investment when it came to our fishing. He expected us to figure the rest out and taught us to do what he did when he was a boy. We'd go out and cut down some sassafras saplings, and we'd always notch one end of it a little bit so that the string wouldn't slide off of it, and tie that tight. And then we had the hook. You say, well, didn't he buy you one of those red and white floats? I think I was like 13 before I ever got one of them genuine plastic floats. We just found an old piece of dried limb or something, or stick, and we'd tie it on there, and that would hold the hook up. And then when they'd start nibbling on that hook, I just want you to know how oppressed and how poor and what I've had to pull myself up out of, you know. And so string and a hook and a sassafras pole and a little stick, and boy, we could catch fish. We just dig for worms, and that's what we did. And I enjoyed it. I loved it. I mean, I've never got over the joy of just catching a fish. I mean, to this day, I think there's nothing brings a smile to my face than that. But when I got into it later on, and I was able to buy me a fishing pole, I remember that. And I bought it. You hear that, young people? When I bought myself a fishing pole, you say, well, where'd you get the money? It's called work, W-O-R-K. It's It's a four-letter word, but it's not a curse word, all right? You go out, you work, you make money, you buy what you want then. And anyway, but an actual push-button casting pole. I'm telling you what, I think it was a real expensive one. It seems like it was a Zebco 202. All right, just top-of-the-line expensive Zebco 202s. And, but I thought, man, alive, I'd arrived. Because now I can go farther than what I can just throw off with a, I can cast that thing out there. And then, but I had to learn how to do it. You know, there's an art to casting. You have to learn how to do it. And so I'd get to the pond and I'd try to do it and it ended up in the tree, you know, and then I'd be jerking it out of the tree and my line would snap and I'd lose things. The only one bobber I had is now hanging in the tree. And I'd try it again, and it would splash right in front of me, and I'd try it again, and it'd end up over there on that shore. And you know, finally I said to myself, okay, I've got to practice this. There's an art to this. And so what I would do is I get my tackle box, and I took a little lure that I had. It was a little jitterbug lure, and I unscrewed the hooks off of it so that it had no hooks on it. And I would attach that then to my fishing pole, and then I would just go to the yard and I would just practice casting, trying to get it to land in a certain spot, just figuring it out. First of all, just trying to get it to cast. And then I got to the point where I'd try to cast it to a certain area. Well, then I got to the point where I'd take a 5-gallon bucket out there, and I'd stand over like here, and there'd be a 5-gallon bucket like over there, and I'd cast that thing. Sometimes I'd cast it like this. I like to cast sidearm like that, and I'd get that thing where I could drop that thing right in that bucket. And if you are a fisherman, you understand that there's an art to this, because where you cast and where you land your bait is 90%, honestly, of whether or not you're going to catch a fish on that cast. And you do a lot of casting. I've caught a lot of fish, but let me just say this. I figured it up mathematically. I've done a lot more casting than I've done catching. Amen. A lot more casting than I've done catching. And so, but I'd get to the point where I could take that and I could hit that bucket most of the time. Then I'd move the bucket out a little bit farther and I'd try to get that distance. Then I'd move it in a little bit and I'd try to get that distance. And you know what? I think most things in the Christian life is kind of a learned process. Somebody reads these verses, cast thy burden upon the Lord and casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I think, you know, those of us that maybe have are now farther down the road in our Christian life and we've kind of learned how to do that, it's kind of like we just forget that it was a process. It's just easy to look at a new Christian. Well, just cast your burden to the Lord. Cast your cares on the Lord. And they just kind of look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, and so I want to tell you this morning what the Bible's talking about, because there's an art to casting. The art, this is the name of the message, the art of casting your cares, the art of casting your cares. Now I want to look at the context for just a few minutes, because I think it's always interesting to look at the chapter that you find the verse in. I'm talking about First Peter chapter 5, and then the Bible begins with this statement, the elders which are among you I exhort. And so this entire chapter is introduced with the idea of talking to elders or men that are in the ministry, talks to the ones that are older. You get down in verse number 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder, talks to some in the ministry that are a little younger. And then in the context of addressing and encouraging men that are in the ministry, preachers and pastors, we get down to verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a period there. Then notice this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then it changes gears and picks up a different subject there. But I think it's important to say this. You say, preacher, well, if it's in the context of teaching this to preachers, then that does that really apply to me today? Let me tell you why I believe that God specifically says, pastors, you need to learn this. You need to learn this because you're going to be in a position to try to help a lot of people that are going through the cares of life, that are facing difficult things in life. And it's almost like you had better, as a preacher, master the art of casting. You know why? Because you're going to have to come alongside people and teach them the art of casting. So I guess the answer to my question is, this applies just as much to you as it does to me. And you know what? There's a reason that God brings the cares of life, maybe sometimes to a little higher degree, into the life of a minister or a preacher. It's amazing when I meet preachers across the country and I begin to find out what's going on in their life. So many times behind the scenes, you know, behind the outward of facade of a successful ministry and a happy countenance, and you really get past that and you find out that a lot of these men are carrying tremendous heartaches and tremendous cares and have had to face some difficult things. But I thought to myself, how can we help somebody else if we just look at them with no reference point in our life concerning some of the cares of life? And so in the context of the verses, I want you to tell you, listen, the difference, but preacher, if I could just say, let me just say this, the difference between men who have been in the ministry 40 years and those who quit after 4 years is this: they'll either learn how to cast their cares, or their cares will eventually cast them down. They will either learn how to cast their cares, or their cares will eventually cast them down. But the honest truth, same is true with you. What's the difference between the person that gets saved, sticks in there for a while, and then they're another family that we just from time to time say, boy, it's a shame. And the people that are sitting in this pew that's been here serving the Lord for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years of their life. Listen, you will either learn to cast your cares, or your cares will eventually make you a castaway. And so this is important what we're going to learn. Oh, preacher, I don't need this. There's nothing going on in my life right now. Can I say this? The day's not over yet. And I'm not praying for it, and I don't wish for it. Trust me. If I could build as strong prayer walls as I possibly can around the people of my church. I love it when things are going good for people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But there's not a one of us that's going to escape this. And so we better learn that. Better get the 5-gallon bucket out and start figuring out what this is talking about. And you're going to have to practice it. You're not going to get it right the first time you have to go through it. You're probably not going to get it right the second time. You're going to learn some more, but you're not going to get it right. I watch young couples, and sometimes I watch teenagers when the first real challenge of life, I'm talking about something that just rocks the foundation of their life, hits them. And you know what? A lot of times, you know what? They don't know what to do. They don't know how to react. They're saying the wrong things. They're doing the wrong things. Listen, have mercy. Remember when you first got hit with something? I mean, folks, listen, don't be standing there correcting them. You know what? Stand there and love them, because they're just trying to get through the day and figure out what's going on. And so the art of casting your cares, let's look at that this morning out of 1 Peter chapter number 5. Number one, say, how do you cast your cares, preacher? What's this all about? Number one, realize why God allows the cares of life. Realize why God allows the cares of life. Now, let's look back in the context of the verse. Verse number 5, verse number 6 teaches us the why behind it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see, folks, the honest truth is, when things are going good in life, we have a tendency to be a little proud. We look at other people that have problems and say, well, you know what? Maybe if they were as good a person as I was, they wouldn't have all those problems. Somebody else has something coming to their life, and it seems like this person has something going off the tracks. And man, I'll tell you what, we're cruising along. Maybe it's just because God likes us a little more. Maybe we're just a little more spiritual. Maybe we're a little more righteous. And you know what? God watches us. Listen, he tends to bless us and insulate us. And instead of producing a real thankfulness, sometimes it starts producing pride in our life. And we get to thinking that, you know what, maybe there's something wrong with everybody else and something really right with us, because I'll tell you what, things are going well. And God looks down at that pride and says, when I see that, I've got, based on his character, I've got to start resisting that pride. Why? Because he hates us? No, because pride will destroy us. And the honest truth is, everybody in here needs the cares of life just to bring a humility to us. A humility to us. Stay with me here, okay? We need things in life that will keep us humble. We need things in our lives to remind us, here it is, how much we need the Lord. How much we need the Lord. You see, if you're living your life without the help of God, now stay with me this morning. If you're living your life without the help of God, you're doing something that your creator never intended you to do. Well, preacher, I really don't need God right now. Why do you say that? The reason you'd say something like that is because you don't have an issue big enough to drive you to God. And so from time to time, God brings cares into our life just to remind us how much we need him. You know, when we don't pray, you know what we're saying? You know what we're declaring? We're declaring to God in our pride that we can handle life without his help. When we don't read our Bible, we're declaring to God in our pride that we have enough wisdom of our own. We don't need his wisdom. When we do not attend church, start hit-missing church, we're declaring to God in our pride that we can live successfully without Bible preaching, without Christian fellowship. I mean, I know that God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but that's for the people that need it. Oh, wait a minute. I can almost guarantee God's about to send some resistance into your life, some cares into your life. And by the way, thank God for them. Because I'm not talking about one, two, or three people here. I'm talking about all of us. If we're not careful and if things go too right too long, we start getting the attitude that we don't need the Lord. You see, folks, life's cares remind us that we need prayer. Life's cares drive us back into the Bible. Life's cares cause us to understand how important Bible preaching and Christian fellowship is. Let me tell you whose attention I have the most right now. In this service, I have the attention, the most attention, the person I have their best attention are the person that's going through a care of life right now. I've got their attention right now. You know why? Because they realize I need this message. God probably gave the preacher this message because of what I'm going through right now. And you know what? I need to hear this. I need to make sure I know this, how to do this thing called casting, you know. Now, if you don't have a problem in the world, you come to church and walk out and say, I don't even know why we go. We didn't really need that. All righty. So, you know what? God sends these cares into our life. Come on now, folks, to keep us humble, to keep reminding us that we cannot do this thing without God. We do need prayer. We do need the Word of God. We do need the people of God. We do need the preaching of the Bible. We do need the local assembly. Life's cares can remind us how much we need the Lord. So number one, realize why God allowed the care. Number two, realize that everyone, let's just stop and say, realize that everyone has a care. Everyone has a care. The one thing about cares is that they're universal. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, what I found out is this. Cares are universal. When I say that everyone has a care, what I'm saying is it's going to come to all of us. Sooner or later, you're going to have something that's bigger than you. And sooner or later, you're going to have something coming to your life. It's universal. It's common to all men. You may have be going through a time of life where, preacher, there's no real big crisis going on right now. But I think if you'd look back, it hadn't been that long ago. Come on now, where you really went through something. And you know what? Like I said, the day's not over yet. And let's just not get very far away from God. It's just part of life. Part of life. Now, folks, let me tell you this. Watch this. People want to say, well, you know what, God could, and this is where God gets accused, you know. God could stop this, God couldn't have allowed this, God, if he's God, well, let me tell you how you get that. Go back in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't any of it. Before sin. Okay, do you realize that every heartache in life is not a reason, don't blame God, blame sin. Okay, you want paradise? We had it. Same God on that side of it. Same God. Okay, the honest truth is sin just has consequences. There's a lot of heartache in life because of sin. We opened the door. God didn't open the door. I think there's got to be nothing more frustrating to God to listen to a sinful man accuse a holy God of his problems. And so let's realize that, okay? Cares are universal, and they're not God's fault. They're the result of thousands of years of sin in this world. And even though cares are universal, I want to say this, because the verses teach this. Realize that everyone has a care. Cares are universal, but your care is personal. Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. And even though I remind people from time to time, and it is, I think, a biblical encouragement, that you're not alone. And that, you know what, other people have gone through it. And people are around you are going through things that you're not going through, that you don't understand. Even though that's all true, at the end of the day, we still got to go home and deal with our issue, our burden, our problem. Okay? So even though cares are universal, your care is personal. And it's yours. And preacher, I'm okay, I know all of that, but I still have it. I'm still dealing with this. I still need help. Well, help's on the way, man. I'm just laying some groundwork here, okay? So realize why God allows the cares. Realize that everyone has to care. And they will, or if they do, or they will. And number three, realize that you have to decide what to do with your care. Now, this is where we're getting into the scripture. This is not something God makes you do. This is something God commands you to do and encourages you to do, but he can't make you do it. Okay, I've got this problem. I've got this care. I've got this burden, preacher. The Bible says cast it. You have to decide to do that. You have to make the decision. I watch a lot of people that just won't cast it. They won't cast it. You see, when a care of life comes into you, when something comes into your life that causes you a burden or a care, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Now, let me give you some choices, all right? We all like choices, right? We like choices, all right? Number one, you can carry it on your own. And again, that's pride. There's a lot of people that even in the worst crisis of their life that's out there in this community will not let that crisis drive them to the Lord. And you know what? Their pride's going to destroy them. Okay? You can carry it on your own, but that's not God's will. You can carry it by yourself, but that's not God's will. Well, preacher, that's just what I was taught to do, and that's how I was raised. And you know what? We don't go to anybody for help, and something comes in, we just carry it. Well, let me tell you what's happening. All right? Number one, it's taking a toll on you, more of a toll than you think. And number two, it's taking on a toll on those around you. Okay, it's not just affecting you, it's affecting the people in your life. Now again, come on, let's be honest, is this a pride thing? Where at the end of the day, you want to be able to say, well, I didn't go to God and I didn't go to any. Well, we might not say that out loud, but is that what's really going on in our heart? I take care of my own problem. You know, God says, well, you can carry it if you insist on it, but you're going to be miserable and you're going to hurt people around you. All right, number two, we got options. I like options. Here we go. Number two, you can refuse to care for your care. You can carry your care, or you can refuse to care for your care. What's that even talking about, preacher? I don't know how many people that's gone through a bunch of hard things in life. And you know what they finally do? They try to carry it on their own. And pretty soon, you know what they do? They just then adopt this, an I don't care attitude about almost everything in their life. I don't care. Well, I'm not going to let it bother me. Well, it's bothering you. I can tell by the look on your face. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be trying to convince me how much you didn't care. And it sounds good to just take that I don't care attitude, but watch this. Your cares will not go away just because you're ignoring them. Okay? Some people refuse to take care of their cares. They just refuse to. So they either take an I don't care attitude or they try to run from their cares. Okay, I just don't know how to deal with this. I'm leaving. I'm not, you know what I found out? Cares are like bloodhounds, okay? You go ahead and run. I mean, move to a different state, move to a different country, move to a different planet. You know, do whatever you want to do. But when you get there and unpack, you're going to turn around and guess what's going to be standing in the living room with you? The honest truth, come on, folks. God's saying, isn't this amazing? God's saying, cast that thing to me. Well, I got it. Cast that thing to me. I'll just ignore it like it's not there. Cast that thing to me. I'm going to run from it. Would you just cast it? So I watch people take on this sullen martyr. I don't care about anything. Nothing's going to touch me. I'll turn everything off. But you know what? They are still being destroyed from the inside out. I've watched people run from their cares or try to, and they turn around. Your cares are going to follow you wherever you go. I've watched people try to hide from their cares. How do they do that? Why do we have the problem with alcohol abuse? Why do we have a drug problem? Come on, let's get right down to it. What is the basis of what's going on there? Why do we have a nation that's so bent on trying to legalize marijuana? Because the average American just wants to smoke or shoot or inject or drink anything that's going to allow them to forget about their cares for so many hours. But guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to come back to it and it's going to be waiting for you the next morning. I don't care what you try to do. And so I think, again, here's a loving God in heaven that says, listen, cares are a part of life. Okay, listen, it wasn't my plan. That was y'all's fault. I had you in paradise. Cares are a part of life. Now, listen, I'm here, though. I'm here. Cast that thing to me. No, I'm just going to not care about anything. Cast that thing to me. No, I'm going to take off and run. Cast that thing. I'm going to go hide. I'm just going to go get drunk. I'm just going to go get high. Well, you know, that only lasts for so many hours. And by the way, when you wake up, you'll have even more cares and more heartache than you had before. All right. So isn't there a better way? Well, preacher, get to it. Get to it, will you? All right. How to cast? How do you cast? Now, you got to do something. Well, you can carry it. You can refuse to care about it or pretend to, or you can cast your care. Now, how do you do it? Let's look back at the verse. I love this verse. So much in one little small verse. Look at verse number 7. Casting, and what's the next word? All. All right. Well, first of all, let's look at that word casting. Casting has the idea of a sudden motion. It means to fling something, to deposit it as if a heavy load, to deposit it. To cast it, okay? Now, you know, I'm a country boy, so this is what I thought about immediately. I'm thinking to myself, brother, I'm going to tell you what. I've had something heavy sitting on the ground, maybe 100 pounds of feed, and I've got a pickup truck, and I've got the tailgate down. And this is a perfect example of it. You know what the Bible's saying? It's saying, listen, don't open the sack and take a handful of it and throw it in the truck. By the way, go ahead and try to do this. Don't cast it. Just go, I'm just going to set it up there. You know what I do? I'm telling you what I do now. Okay, at 56 years of age, I'm telling you what I do now. I pull that thing up. I get it up here about on my thigh, and I take my thigh, and I go like this, and I go like this, and I fling that baby as far into that truck bed as I can. You know why? Because if it don't make it the first time, I may never get it in there. That's why. Brother, I'm not, you know, this is what we do. Well, I know I need to give it to God. Will you just fling that thing? You know, how you doing? How's things going? I think I'm 3 inches closer than I was a month ago. Will you fling that thing? I mean, it's going to hurt. I'd rather just hurt for a minute. Just fling that thing as far back into that truck as you can. Because I promise you, that truck isn't going to have any trouble carrying that thing. Well, this is good for us. It says, cast it all. Cast it all. Cast it all. You know, you got that sack. Don't just take a little bit out of it. Don't take a bucket's worth out of it and then act like you can handle the rest. God says, what are you doing? That's your pride again. Just fling it up here on me. Man, that's encouraging. And so how do we cast it? First of all, we cast it all. That tells us how to cast it. Where to cast it? Upon him. Doesn't that what it says? Casting all your cares upon him. So you know what? We're not talking about casting it over on a psychologist or calling up 16 friends and casting it on them. But I feel better. Yeah, thank you very much. Now all of them are carrying that. Why don't you go to the one who's capable of it? Why don't you go to the one that's never seen a burden too big? Why don't you go to one that's never seen a problem that he can't solve? Why don't you go to the one that laughs at the idea of something being impossible? I mean, go to God. That's why that was allowed in you. I just don't understand why God allowed it. Well, I'm about to answer that. He's trying to get you to him. Go to him. Go to him. Go to him. We get to the point where we start walking around. Nobody understands. I know. That's what he wants you to realize. But he'll understand. He'll understand. So we got how to cast it. Cast it all. Fling it. Where to cast it? Upon him. Why do we cast it? And why can we cast it upon him? I love this. Here's the best news this morning. Because he cares for you. Woo! One of the things that I talk about taking a toll on you, these old burdens, one of the tolls it begins to take is in our attitude towards the Lord. And hey, I've been there. And listen, I'm not going to pick up any stones and throw them right now because I've been there. You can get so burdened down that you think nobody cares. Not even God, he don't even care. That's a lie of the devil. If you've ever for one second had the thought, God doesn't care, I promise you, you didn't think it, you heard it. That was the devil whispering it in your ear. Because the one thing I've taken this book, and I mean dozens of times, read it from Genesis to Revelation, and the one thing I can always say when I get done reading this Bible is this, God cares. God loves me. God cares about what I'm going through. God cares about my burden. I can trust him. I can start in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation, and tell you hundreds of stories of people that had things sometimes bigger than I'll ever face, but God was there for them. He can be trusted. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply from mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark? Been there? With a nameless dread and fear. When we think about it, with a nameless dread, preacher, I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know how to put it into words. With a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care what a blessed verse, when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, I'm glad there's a chorus to this song. Oh, yes! He cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, come on now, and the long nights, some of you have had some of those long nights dreary. I know my Savior. I know he cares. So how do you cast this thing? Well, you got to decide what you're going to do with it. You want to carry it? Want to keep carrying it? How's that working for you? You want to run from it? Want to act like you don't care? You want to go hide in a cave somewhere? It's not going away. Or you know what you can do? You can cast your care upon the one that cares for you. And we'll say, preacher, what if I don't go that route? I think that's why the next verse follows. I think that's why we study the Bible in context. What happens right after that? Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you, period. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you who the people are that are the easiest prey for the devil. It's that person that won't cast that care. It's that person that just insists on carrying that care. It's that person that walks around with a martyr's attitude about a care. It's that person that wants to blame somebody else or blame Almighty God for their care. You don't realize it, but you are in the vicinity of that roaring lion, and you can be easy prey. Listen, we are easy prey for the devil when we are burdened down. That's why God says, cast it to me. We're easy prey for the devil when we are discouraged. That's why God says, give me that thing. We are easy prey for the devil when we think we are all alone. So you're not. Somebody cares for you. We steadfastly resist the devil when we exercise the faith to cast. Because look at that next verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. By the way, that's that little reminder again. Hey, there's been other people that's gone through this. There's been other people that's had to face this. There's other people right now going through it. By the way, they haven't quit. They're still strong with the Lord. They're still going to church. They're still trusting me. Hey, if they can do it, you can do it. And you can. You can. So how do I steadfastly resist the devil? I look at that big burden. I say, devil, you want me to get mad at God because of this. But I'm not going to get mad at God. I'm going to obey the Lord. And you know what? You're not going to let this thing come between me and God. I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to do with it exactly what God says. And maybe I can only pick it up about to here and I get my thigh under it and I'm going to fling that thing as hard as I can and just fling it as hard as you can. I promise you, God can catch it on the other end. He can catch it on the other end. Say, help me some more, preacher. Look at verse number 6. Remember that cares are not forever. That your cares not forever. What did it say? We're going backwards. Yep. Look back at number 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Oh, I'm so glad for these last three words. In due time. In due time. I miss Mrs. Fulkerson. I miss irritating her. I miss giving her a hard time. I was good at that. I was good at that. I miss going by her trailer and sitting there at the kitchen table. She'd always get me coffee, and she'd always go in the freezer. She always had cookies frozen. So they don't sound good. You dip them in coffee, they're just fine. They are just fine. Makes them chewable, cools the coffee down a little bit so you can drink it. It's genius, pure genius. But how many times have I sat and listened to Mrs. Fulkerson, sometimes with tears running down her face, and maybe she opens up a little peek into the window of her heart and something she's carrying, and she'll brush a tear away, dazzle you with the Mrs. Fulkerson smile, and say, preacher, what'd she say? This too shall pass. Hey, it's past for her. I really want to go out on her tombstone with a chisel and a hammer and chisel underneath her name, this too has passed. Hey, we're just here for a little while. Come on, we're living out of vapor. Okay, you see how short that little dash is on the tombstone between when you were born, that's about it. That's about it. But preacher, let me tell you something. One of these days, if you're saved, I'm going to a place where there's no more cares. I'll never have to struggle and just try to get it to my thigh so I can fling it to God. I'm never going to have to deal with this again. And you know what? The honest truth is, even in life, most of the things that I look back at now and thought, I'll never get out of this. This will never go away. Guess what? This too shall pass. And so it's just a little while. It's just a little while. I'll show you another verse just in case that didn't convince you there. Look at verse 10. but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Whew. Okay. How do you cast this thing, preacher? You know what you do? You realize, first of all, listen, stop getting mad at the wrong person. If I'm going to get mad at anybody, I'm getting mad at the devil. But also, I just got to understand, you know what? It wasn't God that blew the whole paradise thing. It was us. And he could have walked away and never had a thing to do with us after that. But you know what he did? He sent his son to die on the cross so we could have eternal life. He adopted me into his family. And then he said to me, for the rest of the time you have to live out on this sin-cursed world, if you have a care that's too heavy, then you just fling it my way. And I'll carry it for you. What a deal. What a deal. And he says this, it's just for a little while. I need to humble you. Come on, preacher. Preachers need humble too. I need to humble you for a while. But in due time, I'll lift you back up. It's just, listen, you can trust the Lord. Listen, God knows what I need more than I know what I need. And there's a lot of things he sends my way, and I want to say, Lord, I don't need this. And he says, you're telling me what you need. I think I know what you need better than what you think you know. And so just remember this. I'm talking about some of you right now. I mean, I sat and visited with Sister Terry and Brother John yesterday and get a chance to talk to Brother John, because he was pretty much, they had him asleep, you know, and he was resting. And I watched that. And I think what that lady's gone through in the last couple of years and with her son, and then, you know, and is Lynette here? Where's Lynette? And some of the things that Lynette's had to face. And listen, honestly, you say, well, this family is no different than any other family. You want to throw a name out at me? Let's just talk about what they're facing right now. I'm telling you, I don't care where you go. One of the great things of learning to pray down the church membership list is if you'll take the time to stop and pray for every family and really think about it, I promise you, nobody's getting a free pass. I mean, there's cares everywhere. But I watched her, and she's trying to say all the right things. And, you know, that's what Terry does. She just toughens up. Well, the Lord's going to, and, you know, we're just trusting. But, you know, every one of us hit that breaking point where everything we're trying to say can't cover up. And sometimes everything we're feeling in here runs out here. And you know what she just needs? She just needs the Lord. And if you're going through it this morning, let me tell you what you need. You need the Lord. Hey, it's not time to quit church. It's time to make sure you never miss church. It's not time to quit praying. It's time to pray more. It's not time to start ignoring your Bible. It's time to get in your Bible. And you know what? Sometimes when you're in the middle of this, you just need to start into Psalms. Just pop it open. Say which Psalm, any of them, they're fine. Well, I read one and that didn't do it. Well, just keep reading. I promise you, you'll get three or four deep and all of a sudden you'll have a verse that God just takes and picks you up and lifts you up. And just all of a sudden it's like, thank you, God. This is why you needed me in this book today. Man alive, it's good. Preacher, this is tough. I know. Number five, we're done. Realize that this care is for your good and for God's glory. Look at the last verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, it means mature, established, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I love that phrase. I love the phrase. This is for our good and God's glory. I love to be able to walk to somebody and look at them and say, this is for your good and God's glory. Well, preacher, I'd like to be mature. I'd like to be established. I'd like to be strengthened. I just wish, careful, careful. By the way, God wants you to get there too. And that's what he's doing. He's taking us through a process. But let me tell you something. And by the way, it does work. I'm not saying that after being saved for over 50 years, I don't still get knocked off course sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. After you've just said, you know what? God's got me through so many things before, and he's never met a situation that's overwhelmed him. When something comes, don't get me wrong, I don't like it. I don't like these things. But man, I've just learned immediately, God, you've got this thing. You've got it. Okay? I mean, you really have got it. Here it comes. You've got it. Okay, I can't carry it. I'm not supposed to carry this. You didn't tell me to carry it. I'm not supposed to run from it. I'm not supposed to hide from it. I'm not supposed to ignore it. I'm not supposed to act like it's not happening. I'm supposed to fling it. I mean, just fling the thing. Lord, there's just so many things in life that I can't. I can't. I'll tell you another reason I think that this verse is in this chapter. Because a preacher just doesn't carry his. I mean, I can't carry mine. How am I going to carry y'all's? So let me tell you something. When you bring me something, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with it. I ain't carrying it. Now I'll help you fling it. Come on now. Come on. Come on, guys. Have you ever had something you can't get up in the truck? I mean, you know, something that finally realized you were makes you realize you're mortal, you know, because, and you have to call somebody over. I mean, I'll come over. I'll get on one side. I'll help you. I'll give it a good fling with you. But there's somebody we can turn to. Listen, Jesus cares. He's right there. He hadn't gone anywhere. He hadn't forgotten you. He's right there. Casting all, not just this, all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll allow your sweet Holy Spirit to minister to each of our hearts even now. God, thank you, Lord, for these promises. David knew something about the burdens of life. He carried some. He had to face some cares. And he's the one that you directed to write, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Peter faced some things. He faced some hard things too, and you moved him to write, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Thank you for being there for us, God. Thank you. Thank you.